Turn with me to Genesis and chapter 1, and I will stop reading with verse 25. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day, day one. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, day two. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening, and there was morning, day three. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, day four. Then God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." There was evening, and there was morning, day five. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Last fall, winter, and spring, we made our way, taking one chapter per Sunday evening service, and marched our way through Paul's great letter to the church in Rome. As we move forward now in this fall season and then into the new year, I want to now switch from the New Testament and that pivotal book, that pivotal letter of the New Testament. I now want to come to Genesis, a book that we've never touched on in Faith Bible Church, morning or Sunday evening. And I want us to make our way through these pages, which in like manner are so pivotal to our faith and to an understanding of God's work. In Genesis, we have all kinds of beginnings. We have the beginning of the world. We have the beginning of mankind. We have the beginning of sin. We have the beginning of redemption laid out for us. We have the unfolding of the Hebrew family of Abraham and how that he gave birth to Isaac and then to Isaac to Jacob and Jacob to the 12 patriarchs. And we find them at the end down there in Egypt, ready for God to do a work of bringing the people back. Unimaginable that God would go and take from within a nation a people to his own name and his power that was demonstrated in Exodus. But all of that is racing way ahead. Here Genesis stands alone in the Bible. It is the only one. It's a little bit like Acts, which tells us the beginning of the Christian church after Jesus died, buried, raised, and ascended. Acts, in so many ways, stands alone in the New Testament, just as Genesis does in the Old Testament. It answers so many questions for us. Well, here we come, and at the very outset, we realize that such an enormous subject as creation, we are rather amazed that as thick as our Bible is, and although in places such as Psalm 19 and elsewhere, where creation is referenced and God is held forth as very plainly the creator of all that is, here at the outset of Genesis, we find two fairly compact chapters that are given to us of creation. And we're left rather scratching our heads at what is going on here. We have so many questions and we would desperately love to know more. The answer is that for our God, creation was really no big deal. That's sort of the bottom line of it. He spoke, and it was. He declared what he wanted it to be, and it simply happened. Now, what do we have in the remainder of Genesis and Old Testament, and of course going over into New Testament? We have redemption. Creation was no big deal for God. It happened simply at the word of his mouth. But following that, we have in Genesis 3, we have man falling into sin, and all that takes place is God going after this rebel called man, and making provision that redemption might take place. So here we have just a couple chapters, plus other portions of God's word laying out creation. But then the remaining and that account which cost God even the very life of his son on Calvary's cross, that cost him everything. But it was something that he was willing to do, and that is the truly amazing story. Now, at times, and we should be amazed at what God does here in creation, rightly enough. But here in redemption, lest we consider that this world, which will one day pass away and be gone, that this world is so amazing, we need to remind ourselves that what was done on Calvary's cross, what Paul was talking about in Romans and elsewhere, is truly the amazing story of the Bible. But that does not discredit what we find here and what we must dig into. Redemption is the key story. Now, the first verse makes an assumption. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is not held out as some explanation. He is simply declared as the one who created and as the one who is there in the beginning. There is no defense. There is no backing up. He is simply there. And this reminds us that there are some things in life, though our world would dearly love to argue against it, they would dearly love to question and push back, there are some things that are so plain as the nose on your face, they are so obviously there for anyone who has the will to look, that no explanation is needed. Some things have to be assumed. Ravi Zacharias, a man who I greatly enjoy listening to, he has a story of a philosophy prof who said that every new university term, there is some wiseacre who stands up in his class and says, "How do I know I exist? How do I know I exist?" Basic philosophy question. And the instructor always would say, "And who should I say is asking? Who should I say is asking?" You see, there are some things which are so self-evident that to even utter the question is making the question and the questioner utterly ridiculous. In the beginning, Moses begins to write, God was the one who created the heaven and the earth. Now, the earth is held out as formless and empty, void that is, and it was a dark place. Light had not yet shone upon the earth, but over this mass, over this confusion, the Spirit of God was moving, was hovering over the surface of the waters. And God speaks. You see, God's word is also held out. Here in Genesis, this is revelation, plain and simple. We usually think, well, we need to go to the very opposite book of, or opposite end of the Bible in order to get revelation. Right from the very beginning, this is God revealing himself. We are given the answer to, well, who is this God? He's the one who broods, who moves over the surface of confusion, and he is the one who brings order out of confusion. And so the very first act, God wants to turn on the lights. And God said, "Let there be light." Simple statement, simple command, and it says, "And there was light." It just happened. God saw that the light was good. What he had created, all that he created, was good. God separated the light from the darkness. He gives a name to this light. It's called day. And the darkness, he gives a name to that as well. It's called night. And there was evening and there was morning. In Hebrew, it says Yom Echad. Yom Echad. Yom is the word for day, and Echad is the number one. So day one is what the Hebrew text says. There was evening and there was morning. My Bible here says one day, but as I say, Yom Echad, day one, a very literal and wooden translation. Now, here as we come to Genesis, there is certain Christians who look at this and there's a different understanding than that this was a strict 24-hour day. That maybe these were ages. That this day it's not a day, but it's a long, long time, and we don't know whether it was 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years, but there's some real problems with that. If all of a sudden a day isn't a day, then what else is changed in the story? And when we read the text and we read each time that there was evening and there was morning, it's pictured in terms of what we understand is an actual day. Different parts of the day, an evening and then morning. Now, in the Jewish mind, they understand the day starting at sunset. We usually think of it starting at midnight or when we get up in the morning. But for the Jew, they are always thinking of how that God brings us from darkness into light. And so even their understanding of the day, that God is moving us from darkness into light, through the teaching of Moses, he is moving us from darkness of Egypt into the light of the promised land. And that borders over into the New Testament as well. In Christ, we are brought out of the darkness of this world and into the light. Verse 6, God continues to speak and things continue to happen. Let there be an expanse, and here we have the division of the clouds and the waters that are below that. Verse 8, God called the expanse, that upper expanse, heaven, and there was evening and morning, day 2. Now come to day 3 in verse 9. God said, the power in God's word that is simply uttered, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place. You see, God continues to bring order out of confusion. It was a horrible mass of mess and confusion, but God continues to divide and to bring order. Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place. Let dry land appear. And we read, and it was so, just as in verse 7. It happened. It wasn't a process of millions or billions of years. God spoke, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And over again, God saw that it was good. Now, God was not done with the dry land. Let the earth sprout vegetation. We talk about plants, fruit trees, bearing fruit and the seed within them. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, those plants yielding seed, trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. It was good. Day 3. Verse 14. God again, he speaks. We serve a God who reveals himself through his word. He reveals himself through his word. God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate day from night. Let them be for signs, seasons, days, years. Let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Now, here, of course, we come in day 4, and we've had light from day 1. The simple answer is that in that initial day, the radiance of God's presence bore light upon the darkness of this world, and it was that radiance, before there was sun or moon or stars, that God's brilliance lit up the night sky. And God was honored in that. So day 4, we have to wait for these other things. Now, verse 16 always amazes me. Perhaps of all the story of creation, it says, God made the two great lights, the greater light, the sun, to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. And then the last phrase in my Bible is, he made the stars also. But those five words are actually not in the Hebrew text. There's actually only three words there. You may note in your Bible, if it's similar to mine, that sometimes they add in a word or two to help it flow. It says, he made, and that is in italics. Those words are implied, and obviously it makes perfect sense to imply that. He made the stars also. Those three words, the stars also, are what is in the text. And so here, God is described as making the great light, the sun, the lesser light, the moon, to govern the night. And all of those millions and millions of stars that he created, they get three words in the story of creation. God littered the nighttime sky. He littered the galaxy and the universe with countless stars that are still being discovered and named and cataloged by the astronomers. All of those, and God, no big deal for him. He made the world and all that it contains. He made the stars also. It's sort of one of those throwaway comments on the power of God and how great he is. Verse 17, he placed them in the expanse, sun, moon, all those other stars that he just sort of put out there. God placed them. There was a very definite order. He placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, there it is once again, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Now, once again, this whole business of these 6 days, are they actually 24-hour days? Or are they long stretches of time? Well, if at the end of, for instance, verse 13, and at the end of verse 19, and at the end of other verses like 31, if that day that is referred to there is not a day, but it's this long stretch of time, then how can we understand in verse 16 and in verse 17 and 18 that this also isn't something else? You see, we either understand a day to mean a day, the words to mean what exactly we understand them to mean, or it all falls apart. It all falls apart. Verse 20. Then God said, you see, he's still acting simply by his word. He speaks and it happens. Like Jesus standing at the tomb of Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't have to go in there and shake Lazarus or pour oil on him or breathe into his nostrils. He called him and it happened. Only when God forms in the dust the man do we see him taking his hand and fashioning something. That comes later. Verse 20, then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures. So we have all of the aquatic world coming into being. We also have all of the birds that fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. All of a sudden, there is life in those lifeless waters, and there's life in those lifeless heavens. 21, God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kinds, the blue whale and the sharks and the dolphins and everything down to the minnows and far, far smaller than that. Everything that moves, that swarms, and every winged bird, and God saw that it was good. Mark repetition in the text. That is God's way of highlighting, of underlining what he wants us to hear. His work was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply." You see, there was reproduction that was built into the system right from the beginning. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, day 5. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind." And he says, "Cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. Now, most of us have no problem with the cattle and the beasts of the earth, but we do have some problems with the creeping things. And Lord, why did you make mosquitoes and bugs and caterpillars and those things that aren't very nice? God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, cattle, the creeping things, and God saw that it was good. All that God has done is done in love. It is an incredible world. And next time we will come into verse 26, where God now, having formed this beautiful, beautiful place, in such a very short time, he now wants to introduce the keeper of this beautiful world. He forms Adam and he says, "Let us make man in our image. Let them rule over the fish, the birds, the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps." And God brings into the world man.